Today, as we come to the table,
Christianity is not America's religion. Christianity is what God, he sent his son to die for the world, that all that would believe in him would be saved. If you don't know the Lord, this is how you get in. You believe in his son, you repent of your sin, and the Bible says you'll be accepted into heaven. And note this, yeah, but God would never accept me. If you're an underliner or one who circles, circle the word whoever. Circle it. If you don't like to write in your Bible, circle whoever in the person's Bible next to you. But that way, it'll be drilled into your heart. In every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. I love it.
In all the pictures, Jesus is white. He's usually got nice blue eyes and brown hair and pale skin. And sometimes we forget that he wasn't American. Christianity doesn't belong to America. Pastor Mark tells us today who Christianity belongs to. It belongs to whoever. Whoever will follow Jesus is welcomed in. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Banish the thoughts of a nice white Jesus and remind yourself today that Jesus came to die for whoever from wherever. And then give yourself another little nudge and remember that you are called to go to the whoevers, wherever they may be, and bring them the good news that Jesus died for them. Now let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts chapter 10 as he continues his message, Tearing Down the Walls, Part 2.
Look what Peter says, "Not so, Lord. For I've never eaten anything common or unclean." And guys, I can imagine this is something where all of us would react this way. If God were to challenge us this morning on something that we've never done and we made up our mind we would never do, what if God says to us, "I want you to do this"? What if we hear the voice of the Lord this morning saying that? What are we going to say? Notice Peter says something that you really can't honestly say as a Christian. What does the word Lord mean? Not just Jesus, it means master. The one who rules my life. Let me put it another way. The one who makes the rules. Not so, the one who makes the rules. What? Not so, the one who makes the rules. Oh, yeah, that doesn't even sound right, does it, Lord? You're telling me to do it and you're commanding me to do it, but Lord, I have a good excuse. I've never done this and it makes me feel weird. God's not going to make you do something that makes you feel weird. You know, I use the example of rise, mark, praise, and sing. Raise your hands, clap. You don't have to clap. You don't have to raise your hands. And sometimes I get afraid saying that because I think in the service, they're probably thinking, he's watching me. He's watching to see if I'm going to clap. I ain't going to do it. You know, I'm not watching you. I don't care if you clap. I don't care if you raise your hands. Here's all I care about. I care that you would be free to do so if you wanted. That's all I care about. I don't want you to be bound up because in your church, they never did that. You know, the way you were taught, that was wrong. And I don't want you to be bound up. You worship God the way God tells you to worship. You do however you serve God. You serve him the way he's called you to worship. But I want you to be free. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom, both of them. You said them both. The word's liberty, it means freedom. Same thing, so you're both right. There's liberty. Guys, so we walk in the Lord. You know, the Bible doesn't say come to the Lord and get bound up. Have a bunch of rules. Get real stuffy, you know. That says be free. God's given us a big playground. We can enjoy it. And at the same time, we know we're not to draw attention to ourselves and we're not to do all these things. But Peter here again, God is just saying, you need to be free, Peter. And he's like, not so, Lord. You know, I can't do that. But notice what the Lord says in verse 15. Speaks to him again. And the Lord spoke to him a second time. This is, you got to get this, Peter. I'm speaking twice now. What God has cleansed. That is, i.e., the food and dietary laws, which, by the way, we're no longer under. You're free to eat whatever. But he's speaking also about the Gentiles, and he's getting this point across to Peter, which, again, he still doesn't get yet. What God has cleansed, you must not call common, or that was a word for the Jew to mean unclean. Notice, you must not. Stop it. You can't do that. Stop doing this. The language literally means stop doing this. That's what it means. In a firm form.
And so, again, the Lord speaks twice here to confirm it, that he means it. And God uses oftentimes a further confirmation to let us know it's him. He did it with Solomon with two dreams, two visions. He did it with Joseph with his multiple dreams. And God does confirm things, which, by the way, if you feel like you've heard the Lord, let God confirm it. I see a lot of believers make big mistakes because they think they've heard God and they're convinced they've heard God and I know this is God. Well, do you really? Maybe you really believe it is, but let God confirm it before you step forward, especially when it's a major life decision. Let God confirm it. God can do that. And God did confirm it here for Peter and told him a second time, you know what? You need to do this. And so I'm confirming it to nail this down. So Peter he's pretty much cornered. And by the way, it's amazing how strong religious tradition can be to think that it took a vision to set Peter free. Some of you guys may be so bound up, it might take a vision to set you free. It did for Peter. And notice this was done, verse 16, three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Why three times? I believe to confirm to Peter of these three Gentiles that were coming that they were not unclean. Because Peter's about to hear of these three Gentiles down at his door knocking that were sent from Cornelius, and God's going to say, go with them. They're okay. They're clean. You're not defiling yourself. This is religious tradition. Be free, Peter. Let it go. Now, it's interesting to me, and you know me, I'm always searching the words and to find out the word meanings, and there was one that really kind of was curious to me when I read it, because when it talks about the sheep being led down from heaven, bound at the four corners, the word it uses there speaks of a surgical strap. A surgical tie, something you use in the operating room. And I'm going, why in the world would you lower it down from heaven with surgical straps, something you use in the operating room? Well, aside from the fact that Luke was a doctor and Luke wrote the book of Acts, I find that interesting. Of course, that's in there. I believe it's because God was not only saying to Peter, and God is saying to us today, I need to do surgery in your life to get rid of the religious tradition. If your religious tradition has bound you up, I've got to come do surgery. And when I take out the spiritual scalpel and begin to cut, for some of you this morning, it's going to be painful. There may already be some here. Maybe somebody invited you today. And you come from a real religious background. You're thinking, I cannot wait until this guy's done. I will never come back, right? Maybe some of you are in that place. Listen, be open to the Holy Spirit. Be open to God. Peter, no doubt, was going, not so, Lord. Not so. Peter, listen to me. It is my spirit. I want to bring you to a new place. I want to grow you. I want to mature you. I want to set you free. I want to use you in greater areas. I want to do surgery, spiritual surgery in your life, Peter. Let me do it. And so notice Peter still doesn't get it. Look at verse 17. While Peter wondered within himself what this vision was, which he had seen and what it meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. So Peter still doesn't get what it is while God is revealing what's going on. Amazing. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname Peter, was lodging there. So, hey, is a guy named Simon Peter here? And while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, so God speaks again, behold, three men are seeking you. Notice three. Even as the sheet was lowered three times, he's like, oh, I'm seeing a connection, Lord. Unclean, three. Here they are, Gentiles. I'm supposed to take this and accept it. He says, arise, therefore, go down and go with them. Note this, I have it underlined, doubting nothing. For I have sent them. I'm doing this, Peter. I'm doing this. Trust me. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, well, Cornelius the centurion, notice how they describe him here, a just man. One who fears God and has a good reputation. And I underline this because probably they were concerned about them being Gentiles coming to a Jew. Notice they said the third thing, among all the nation of the Jews, he has a good reputation. So we like the Jews. We're with you. You know, don't turn against us. He was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. Wow, now Peter's got a decision to make. What do you mean, summon to his house? These are Gentiles. We don't go in with Gentiles. And now this Gentile has come seeking me and says that an angel sent him. And I just had this vision up here on the rooftop telling God telling me to rise, kill, and eat these things that are unclean. Something is happening. Now, Lord, you've told me to go with these men, doubting nothing. And Peter has this decision to make. What am I going to do with my religious tradition? Am I going to stand firm or am I going to turn away? You know, I jokingly last week went, tradition, for those of you that have seen Rip Tevye, you know, and that whole thing. Fiddler on the Roof. It was on TV last week. I think somewhere it's probably on forever. I don't know. But anyway, it was on TV last week. I saw it again. I didn't watch it, but I just saw the one part where Reptevier had rejected his daughter because she had married outside of the Jewish line. She had married a German, and he was completely rejecting her. And she's standing there begging him, saying, "Father, talk to me." And he's going back and forth in his mind, having that conversation that he has with God. Do I desert my tradition? Or do I, turn to my daughter whom I love? Do I desert my tradition? Or turn to my daughter whom I love? And he ends up turning from his daughter and grabbing the cart and wheeling down. And that exactly describes how strong this is in the Jewish heart. It exactly describes what Peter's doing. And Peter's standing here with that cart and the daughter. And they're saying, "Cornelius wants you to come." He's going, "Do I desert my tradition? But I just had this vision, and I just had God tell me, and God said, don't doubt, and these guys are here." And Peter makes the right decision. Look at verse 23. "Then Peter invited them in," again, a Gentile, "into where he was staying." Awesome, Peter. "And he lodged them. And the next day, Peter went away with them, and some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him." So Peter gets up the next morning, and we'll find out later on next week, there's six men that went with him as he travels to go back to Joppa. And notice the following day, they entered Caesarea. So they get there again after a couple of days, a two-day journey to Caesarea. "And Cornelius was waiting for them and called together his relatives and his close friends." Now, I love Cornelius. Notice this. He says, if we're going to hear the gospel, I'm going to make sure my friends and family hear it too. Isn't that great? And guys, really, that's really a picture of you guys saying, I'm going to invite them to church. I'm going to invite my family to church. I'm going to invite my friends to church. Maybe it's an event. I'm going to invite them. I want them to hear it. And let me encourage you in this. It is easier for someone else to reach your family and your friends than it is you. Even Jesus wasn't accepted in his own town of Nazareth. And the Lord made a comment. He said, a prophet is accepted everywhere except his own home. There's too much familiarity. So if you have an opportunity to bring somebody with you, or you have an opportunity to invite them to an event, do it. This is the heart of Cornelius, and this should be our heart as well, because now they're going to hear one of the greatest pastors of all time. Pastor Pete here is going to give the message, and we're going to see a great move of God's Spirit and salvation. He invites everybody together, and notice verse 25, as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Now, again, no doubt they were thrilled that Peter, the famous apostle, had come. But guys, God never intended that any man be worshiped. God never intended that any man be bowed down to. The Bible says God alone is to be worshiped, and God alone is to be bowed down to. Even the angels. When you see in Scripture where men get freaked out because of an angel, like you can imagine what that would be like. They fall down before the angel, and the angels say, "Get up. What are you doing? I mean, I know compared to you, I'm an awesome and great being, but you don't bow to me. You bow to God. Get up." And notice Peter does the same thing. He immediately is shocked by this. He won't allow it. Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up. I myself was a man." Notice he lifted him up. I don't know if he grabbed him by the scruff or just got him by the arm or what he did. But he said, "You don't bow to me." Now, this is amazing, because isn't it the nature of man to still bow down, not only to people today, but even to statues? Interestingly enough, there is a statue of Peter in Rome today that many who believe will go and bow down to, this statue of Peter, who believe this way, and they'll actually kiss the big toe of this statue. I've been told that the big toe has been kissed so much, it's actually gone now. Can you imagine kissing a stone image so much that it's gone? That's a lot of kissing. I'd want to wash my lips after I was done with that one probably, but a lot of people have kissed that toe. But guys, the bottom line is, no, get up. Get up. I was thinking about Peter in heaven, and that almost would be embarrassing to be in heaven if you were a believer in heaven and watch people bow down to you on earth. I mean, I'm sure that it's not Peter's fault, but still going on. He says, "Get up." As he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. So he sees the crowd. They've all gathered. They're there to hear the gospel. And Peter is realizing, he should be realizing at this point why he's there. But notice he still doesn't get it. Look at verse 28. "And then he said to them, 'You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company or to go into another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean.'" Even Gentiles, in other words. And the Gentiles knew the religious tradition of the Jews. "Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked them, 'For what reason have you sent for me?'" Now, I think, what a question is that? Peter comes all the way from there. Why have you called for me? Now, I guess I have to understand, maybe he could be thinking they weren't wanting to hear the gospel. Maybe they just had some questions about the Jewish tradition or religion or what God was doing. But I would think that Peter would get it by now and say, obviously, I'm here to share the gospel. But he still doesn't. And notice, so verse 30, Cornelius said, look, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea, and when he comes, he will speak to you. So it's kind of like, we don't know why you're here either. Look at verse 33. So I sent to you immediately, and you've done well to come. Now, therefore, we're all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. So go. Isn't that great? Now, you want to see a successful gathering together of believers. This is the picture of it. Peter was prepared. He just didn't know it. God revealed what he wanted Peter to share. But Peter had to be first prepared, i.e. the pastor be ready. But the people have to come saying, I'm expecting to hear from God. See, here's the question. When you came this morning, did you just come to church because it's Sunday? And you kind of have to do it, you know, before the ball game. That's just kind of tradition. And before you go to eat, before you do whatever, this is Sunday, so we have to go to church, right? And, you know, you all that. Or did you come saying, I wonder what God's going to say to me today? I'm ready to hear, God. I'm all ears. What do you want to say to me? I need to hear from you, Lord. Go. Okay, Mark, there you are. Here I am. Go. And then I've got to be ready to say, okay, God, what have you put in my heart? This is what the Lord has for us today. Be free. Be free of your religious tradition. And if you're bound up, then you're set free because you're hearing the voice of the Lord. These guys were ready. Both were prepared. Although Peter, I actually kind of know what Peter felt like, because there's times I've had people look at me that way and I think, Lord, I'm not prepared, you know. And so Peter, again, here it feels like he's not. But they say, Peter, tell us. And then the Holy Spirit, yes, Peter, share the gospel. I've come for the Gentiles. And so finally it kicks in. And look at verse 34. Then Peter, he opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. What a statement. Have that underlined. God doesn't care where you're from, what color you are, what you did believe or didn't believe, anything about you. He only cares about you. He shows no partiality. There's no favoritism. And so God shows no partiality. Notice this, but in every nation, whoever, notice that every nation and whoever are huge here. You know, Christianity is not America's religion. Christianity is what God, he sent his son to die for the world, that all that would believe in him would be saved. If you don't know the Lord, this is how you get in. You believe in his son. You repent of your sin. And the Bible says you'll be accepted into heaven. And note this, yeah, but God would never accept me. If you're an underliner or one who circles, circle the word whoever. Circle it. If you don't like to write in your Bible, circle whoever in the person's Bible next to you. But that way, it'll be drilled into your heart. In every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. I love it. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he's Lord of all. That word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. They knew of John the Baptist. They'd heard of this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. I guess that Peter believed in a literal devil. For God was with Jesus. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up the third day. And he showed him openly. Now imagine Peter's passion, because Peter saw this, not to all people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach the gospel and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to judge the living and the dead. Guys, one of the most powerful things you can do is share your testimony. Peter, he could say something we can't say. I saw him in person, and I saw him resurrected in person. But guys, here's what you can say. Here's who I was, and here's what I am now. This is what God has done in my life. It's your testimony. The Bible says in Revelation 12, 11, and the saints overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and the fact they didn't love their life unto death. One of the three things that gives us victory over the enemy is the fact that we basically share our testimony. And I have people say to me, Mark, how can I share with other people? I'm afraid. Share your testimony. Pray for God to open a door. You're not challenging them. You're not confronting them. They're just standing there. So, you know, what do? Well, it's easier for me because I've kind of an inroad, you know. I'm a pastor. Oh, really? Yeah, you're a pastor. Yeah, and that just opens the door. You can't believe what God's done in my life. Let me tell you what I was like. And I began to share and say, and then this happened, then that happened, then that happened. Now God's brought me here. God has so transformed my life. He has made himself so real to me and has just changed me and done all these things for me. And I may never once confront them. But they just heard what God did for me. And they realize, wait a minute, if God did that for him, two things have to be true. Number one, God's got to be real. And number two, if God did it for that guy, God can do it for me. You see how you can share? By just giving your testimony. There's power in that. He says, to him, all the prophets witnessed that through his name. Here it is again. Whoever, not a limited few, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins, that is forgiveness of sins. And so he gives the gospel message and they receive it. They ask the Lord to come into their heart. How do we know that? Look at verse 44. And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. Now remember the three different words and the three different workings we've been talking about of the Holy Spirit as we're going through the book of Acts. The Bible says that God works in the believer's life in three different ways by the Holy Spirit: in, with, and upon. In, the Bible says, happens the moment you receive Christ. He indwells you. With, the word para means alongside, that is God working with us. This is a different word. This is the word epi, E-P-I in the Greek, and it means something from the outside coming upon you. And every time you see the Spirit come upon someone, it is for power. It is that they might be a witness. It is that they might walk with God. And so now we see the Spirit in power coming upon those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. The other Jews with him were like, your Gentiles are getting saved? And as many as came with Peter because of the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on, not that he wasn't in them as well, but again, God making a point, this was another work of the Spirit. The Spirit had been poured out on them, on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And again, this is only one of the gifts and doesn't always take place. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water? Look, we've seen the Spirit poured out on these guys. We need to get them baptized. They're true believers. And again, what a shock for Peter. What a shock for the other six guys with him that went on this journey. Can we forbid water that these should not be baptized, who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then they asked him to stay a few days. So Peter stays and ministers to them. No doubt others coming to the Lord, others being baptized, getting the church established there in Caesarea. And what an exciting passage of Scripture. But guys, note this. None of this would have happened if God had not set Peter free from what? Religious tradition. And right now, some of you guys have been held up in your life, not being used by the Lord in other people's lives because of religious tradition. And God wants to set you free. It's time for you to be free of the religious tradition. It's time for the church to be free of it. We don't have time for that in this day and age. And so my challenge to you is this: are you free of religious tradition? Are you bound up by religious tradition? If you are, what I want to do is, guys, I want to pray that God will set you free.
The New Testament book of Acts may sound like a simple Sunday school lesson, but it's so much deeper and richer than that. This book consists of remarkable men and women who risked and even lost their lives for the sake of Christ and his salvation. They got it. They came to a realization that nothing in this life would offer them something better than what Jesus had freely given them. They couldn't help but proclaim what he'd done for anyone who would hear. They even counted it joy when they were persecuted for the sake of Christ. What an example for us to look at, and to be in awe that we can be warriors for Christ as well, in our own sphere of influence. If what you're doing is for Christ and helping the gospel progress, then it's worth it, no matter the cost or loss of earthly things. If some of this sounds unappealing to you, we'd be happy to talk with you and pray about what's weighing on you related to what you've heard. You're welcome to give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that's 865-609-1385. If you're in the Knoxville area, please come and join us at Calvary Knoxville. Go to thewaymedia.net and find the link at the bottom of the homepage to get service times and directions. If you'd like to hear more teachings from this series, you'll find them in the Come to the Table section on thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app. Pastor Mark has more to share next time, so join us again as we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.